The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Judas willfully misrepresents as waste Mary's extravagant act of anointing Jesus' feet with costly perfume. Jesus recognizes that her lavish gift is both an expression of love and an anticipation of his burial. I begin reading at verse 1. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Young, come on up. Good morning. I brought something with me this morning. Y'all know what this is? It's a calendar, all right? What do you do with a calendar? Okay, you can keep track of the days and all the important events on it. Yeah, and it even comes with some important events. You know what's coming up? Let's see. It says right here, we've got Palm Sunday coming up. And we've also got Good Friday over here and Maundy Thursday. And Easter Sunday then are coming up. All right? It's a calendar. It keeps us informed of what's going to happen, so that we can be ready and be prepared and make sure that those events are on there. You may mark it up with your own things, like when your birthday is, so that you can figure out how long it's going to be until your birthday, how many days, or maybe until school starts again, or whatever you want to put on here, you can put on there so that you know what's going to happen in the event. But what happens to the days that we've already gone by? Okay, you can X them out, right? All right, so I've got the month of March. We've got March right here, and so what we're going to do is X these out. Are we finished with March 1st? All right. How about March 2nd? Yeah. March 3rd? Yeah. All right, how about March 4th? That gone? That one's gone. How about March 5th? That gone? All right. How about the 6th? Yeah, that one's gone. 7th, 8th, yeah, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. No, not yet. That's where we're at. So if you mark up your calendar like this, you can see that those are gone. It's past. We can't go back and live in those, right? Nope, can't go back to it. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians that we are to look forward to what is still to come, and that the past, a lot of those things are just, it's gone. It's past. We don't have to worry about those anymore, and that's actually what Christ does in our lives. Those things that we've done in the past that we're not real proud of, those things that we have done wrong, those things that we would really like to do over, but we can't go back to the past, Jesus X's those out. He just cancels them all. So all those bad things. So each day is a brand new day. And we get to start over once again. Start over with Christ's love and his grace and his forgiveness. And we can start with a new hope that we can have a better world and help make a better world each and every day. Okay. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have forgiven all of our sins and that you keep us new each and every day, and you give us new opportunities all the time to love you and to love one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, don't go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our second lesson today, Paul writes to the Philippians, and Paul kind of gives a background of who he is, and I think this scripture reading for today is important for us because it kind of brings together the centrality of who we are as Christians and how we are to believe. Paul starts off his letter with a list of the things that he was very much proud of before his conversion, things of who he was and who defined him. He writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul had a lot of things going for him. He was young. He was ambitious. He was very religious, he was zealous in his faith, and he acted upon that. One of the other things, and he doesn't really mention it here, was that he probably was fairly wealthy or much better off than the common people in that day and time. For most people who lived then, the common people, they basically lived from day to day. They made as much each day as what they needed to live each day. And so they lived from day to day. But Paul was probably fairly well to do. He had dual citizenship. He was both a Jew and he was also a Roman citizen, which gave him privileges and gave him opportunities that most of the people did not have. And his wealth probably could have come from either his family, had family wealth, or possibly Paul was a tent maker. He could have had a very successful business of making tents in that day and time. But the interesting thing here is that even though he had all of these things going for him, he was well respected, people looked up to him. Like I said, he was young and he was on fire for his religion. But what he says here in verse 8 then is something else. "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." He looks at them as rubbish. Sometimes we get caught up in that same trap that Paul was in before his conversion. We look up to people who tend to have things in order, people who have wealth, people whom are what we look at as important because of the worldly things. We look up to those people and we think, they must be really good people. See how God has blessed them. They have money, they have riches, and that must be because they are such good and hard-working people. The truth of the matter is that money's not going to get us anywhere as far as what's important in life. For Paul, he realizes this, and he calls it all rubbish. And that term rubbish is actually a stronger term than we see here. It's actually could be used as a cuss word, is what he's referring to. And so that's how important Paul sees all of this importance and this glamour, this glitz, this material wealth, all of that stuff. And he's willing to give that all up after his conversion because he sees what truly is important in this world. And what is important is Christ and that message of Christ and that faith in God, that grace that has come down through Jesus Christ as Christ suffered on the cross and rose from the dead. That's what he sees as important. The rest of it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a lick of difference. And if you think about that in our time too, It really doesn't matter when it comes down to the big things. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy life. One of these days, each of us will die, whether we're rich or whether we're poor. Money won't stop grief when we lose someone who's close to us. It doesn't stop pain when we get hurt or we get diseases. Money doesn't help everything. Money doesn't stop it. But what does give us hope, what gives us life, is faith in Christ Jesus. That's what actually gives us life. And that's what Paul is saying. That is the center of faith. One of the other things that Paul gives up is his previous ideas about faith and about who God is before his conversion. He gives that up then as he comes closer to Christ. As I just mentioned, after his conversion, he focuses his attention upon Christ and the works of Christ. Before his conversion, he had a different perspective of what religion was and what God was. He says here that he was a Pharisee, and he was zealous for his faith. He was zealous in his religion. He believed what he was taught. He believed in his faith. He thought that he was doing what God told him to do, and he was going to carry it out. He had that ambition to do it, but he was just misdirected. He says he was a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees kind of get a bad rap sometimes. Pharisees weren't actually bad people. They were actually very good people because they believed in their faith and they followed their faith. The only thing was is that they were misdirected. They had lost who God was. The center of their faith was no longer God. Rather, the center of their faith was the law. And they were very good at following the law. They knew Scripture. They knew all the laws in the Scripture. They had studied them very closely. And they had even made new laws to surround the laws in Scripture so that they wouldn't come close to breaking the laws in Scripture. And they tried to follow those completely. The problem was is that they got to see themselves as better than anyone else. And when anybody else would not follow those laws as they saw fit, the Pharisees were quick to point those out. And that's why a lot of times that the Pharisees bumped into Jesus, why they ran into trouble with Jesus, is because Jesus' focus was upon God the Father. The Pharisees' focus is upon these laws, and a lot of those were man-made laws. And so there's where the friction lied. But as far as being faithful, the Pharisees were very faithful people. They were just faithful to the laws rather than to faithful to God. And Paul once again says, it's rubbish. He's ready to give all of that up, to give that focus up. For us, sometimes we run into the danger of being Pharisees ourselves. We look at what's it mean to be a Christian, what's it mean to follow God, and rather than thinking about the grace and the mercy that God gives us, we think about what should I do? How should I handle things? How should I treat other people at all times? And if I don't do it right, then I'm at fault. We try to keep score with ourselves. If I do something bad, well, maybe I need to do two good things to keep up with it. But the truth of the matter is, it's like that calendar. It's past. It's gone. We can't undo the things that we have done. We can't go back in time and change those things. It's happened. We have an X in our day. We're crossed out. What Paul found out then, what he learned by his conversion and seeing Christ, and also then by listening to those other Christians, was that Christ forgives. He X's out all of that in the past and brings a new day. In our baptism, we are tied to that cross and that resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are drowned through daily repentance. And we arise to a new life out of those waters of baptism to live a new day, to live a new life in Jesus Christ. What's Paul says it probably one of the best ways here in these last verses of his scripture lesson for today. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. He forgets, or he lets go of, the things of the past, those things that he's not proud of, the things where he was misdirected. And think about it. Paul was a pretty rough character before his conversion, or the things that he did. You could almost consider him a religious terrorist, because that's what he was doing. He was so focused on the laws and making sure that everybody else followed those laws that he was willing to go to the length of hunting down the Christians because he saw them as not following the laws. He would hunt down the Christians and he would have them arrested and either thrown into prison or they would be stoned to death. He was willing to follow his faith, even to cause other people to die. And I'm sure Paul was not very proud of that after his conversion. And he realized that grace of God. He realized how his focus had been off. Paul, after his conversion, became the greatest missionary the world has ever known. He traveled all throughout the Near East, and then also throughout Europe. He brought the new message to people. He started new churches all over the place. And more than likely, part of our faith belongs, our ability to believe in Jesus Christ belongs to Paul, because that story came from those first apostles, and Paul was the one who reached out into Europe to bring that faith there. We're direct descendants, in other words, of the mission work that Paul has done. And so God is able to use Paul, even this person who was willing to hunt down Christians. God was able to turn his life around in order to do good in this world. And Paul became zealous then for Jesus Christ. Imagine what God can do for us, of how God can change those things around in our lives. We all have things in our past that we're not proud of, that we're shameful of, that we wish we could change, that we wish never did happen. We know that we have made mistakes. And Christ says, that's all forgiven. It's wiped out. Don't look back to the past. Look forward to what is still yet to come. Look forward to the new opportunities to serve God and to serve one another. Look forward to that day when we will be called into our heavenly home and we will live forever. Look forward to the promises that God has to offer for us. Don't live in those past regrets. Don't live in the past shame. Look forward to what is still yet to come. Paul changed in many different ways, yet he still retained the same person who was zealous for God, zealous for his religion, zealous for Jesus Christ as he went forth to proclaim the good news of Christ. We too are called to forget about those things that we're not proud of, that we're ashamed of, and to move forward, to go on and do the works of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.